Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's a Thursday edition of OMF with Lou Merlone.
Buena, Louie.
Christian Fourier.
I know Christian very well. When he speaks, I listen.
And Glenn Ordway.
The Boston Celtics are the greatest because of people like Glenn Ordway.
It's safe to say the Celtics and Sixers do not like each other.
He smells and he gets the call.
Marcus Smart just told me that I flail a lot. Come on. I guess I'm just smarter than everybody else.
4:30 on Thursday means a round of big deal, no big deal.
Can you dig it one time?
Now it's time for OMF.
We're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
On EEI.
I enjoyed that game last night. That was a fun game to watch, right? Two teams that are in the mix in the Eastern Conference. It was a fun game to watch.
It was.
Yeah.
I feel like we constantly, you know, try to gauge, you know, the barometer of where they're at. Like, where are they? Has something changed? You know, this guy returns. Kemba Walker returns and for a couple games, and you know, guys are coming off the COVID list, and Tatum's still not there. And then you get a good opportunity to kind of see how they stack up against, you know, one of the perennial teams that's supposed to win it or are supposed to be there in the end. So they play the Sixers.
Yeah, one team that's there with
you. They play the Sixers, right? You know they're going to be there. There's about four of them, I think, in the East. Nothing's changed. Absolutely nothing has changed for me with them.
I think a lot has changed. I just totally disagree. I don't think you can look at last night's game. First of all, I understand the fourth quarter, and they collapsed in that fourth quarter. But one, you didn't have your closer, who was Jason Tatum. He didn't play in a game.
I mentioned that.
And Kemba Walker was on a minutes restriction and only had 3 minutes that he could play in the fourth quarter. So you couldn't use him. And I would say this, in his second game back, I was impressed. Now, whether he can continue to sustain it and hold up with the knee, we'll wait and see. To me, the biggest thing I got out of last night's game is Joel Embiid, who is one of the great talents in this league, who's been one of the underperformers over the last couple of years, who has been out of condition over the last couple of years, looks like he's taking this basketball thing seriously. He is a different player, totally different player. Aggressive, in good shape. I think he was in really good shape last night. Played a lot of minutes, and I think he was aggressive throughout. I thought he was totally different, and he has been all this season.
Well, yeah, see, to me, go ahead, Lou.
No, I was going to say I agree, and that's kind of like my takeaways watching Joel Embiid last night, and this is where I go to beginning of the year with my coach of the year prediction in Doc Rivers, because it's a very talented team that Brett Brown just couldn't get anybody to you mentioned it. Joel Embiid looks like he's in shape. Like, I think Doc Rivers is going to get Joel Embiid to understand how to play this game, how to be in shape, what it takes to kind of take it to another level. And that's kind of the scary thing you got out of last night. Yeah, it's just one of those things you just sort of sit back and watch two good teams, knowing that Tatum's not there, that knowing that Kemba's minutes restriction. Look at Kemba in the first half. Because, what, second, third quarter, did he even play? I mean, the second half, he didn't play much at all.
Only 3 minutes left.
So he didn't really play much at all, but the first half. So it was a good game to watch. Now, they were without, I know Seth Curry's not exactly Jason Tatum, but what Seth Curry's doing for them this year is off the charts as well. I mean, he's been, I don't think he's going to keep it up, but he's been absolutely off the charts. Shoot, like 60% from three. Turned into his brother all of a sudden. But it was just a good game to watch. But Joel Embiid is scary, I think, because of Doc Rivers.
Okay, I agree with you. It was an obvious mismatch for anybody who tried to cover him. Tristan Thompson looked like...
Well, your bigs are supposed to cover him. We're there.
They can't. It's not even a fair fight. But the overall DNA... And I was watching it, charting it, same as last year. Well, games that mattered, 6 minutes left on the clock. I mean, they were basically winning and doing everything right for three quarters of the game. 6 minutes left on the clock. All their situational awareness goes out the window. Their shot selection goes out the window. Bad decision. Fouls. Do I need to get into fouls? To me, that's being disciplined. That's playing smart basketball when it matters. They don't do it. They don't do it.
Tough to do it without Tatum.
Wait, hold on.
Kemba, Christian.
He's got nothing.
Kemba wasn't even in there.
None of it. Neither one of those guys have anything to do with it. None of it. Overall, as a team, you could say, well, Tatum wasn't there. Well, listen, I don't think it's going to change. And if it does,
with
fine.
Tatum, it's not going to change.
When their ability to not, when they're, we were talking about just a guy who could score points. They all are good basketball players. Like, they're all good basketball players. My issue as far as a team philosophy, a team DNA, that is what they're lacking right now. Right now, they're lacking it. To me, it's a carryover from the playoffs. So, it's too small of a sample size. Well, you know what? You know it when you see it. And until they prove me differently, I don't think this team, very talented, you'll say that before every last opinion you give, extremely talented, young, great coach. All right, 6 minutes left on the clock. Who's going to lose the ball out of bounds? Who's going to turn it over? Who's going to take a stupid shot? Who's going to foul a guy when they've already gotten like 47 freaking fouls called on them?
That's Marcus Smart time.
Again, I give them a mulligan on this one, mainly because of Tate. I'm usually the one that is critical of the Celtics, not thinking they're good enough. I'm seeing a lot of good things. I'm seeing, once again, Jaylen Brown, who had, 26 in the game last night, but his handling of the basketball, taking control at times. I'm seeing a lot of positive
struggled
things.
He struggled in the fourth.
He did struggle in the fourth because they were able to pinpoint him and just defend him. But I want to go back to what Lou was saying. The disappointing part about last night is we all agree that Embiid is a totally different player, and he's a great, great player when he wants to be. Tristan Thompson was supposed to be able to deflect a little bit of that, make him work a little bit harder. I saw none of that. Thank God you got Daniel Tice, was running him at the other end, and it was at least able to score against Joel Embiid and Dwight Howard.
So how about this one? I just saw this. Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, had this stat of Embiid and Thompson last night. According to NBA's defensive matchup, Embiid scored 23 points on a mere 18.1 possessions. While he was defended by Tristan Thompson. That included 7-for-7 from the floor, 3 shooting fouls, 10 free throw attempts during their matchup time.
Wow.
And this was a veteran, Tristan Thompson, that, you know, you're talking about, he's a veteran, he's going to come in here and, you know, maybe, you know, push a guy like Embiid around in your division.
Yep.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
You want to talk about domination.
Yeah, that was men against boys. It was unbelievable. And I agree with you with Doc Rivers. I think what Doc Rivers has done is he's come in there and he said, I've got two guys that should be great players in this league, in Embiid and Simmons. Let's see what we can do with them. And he lit a fire under Embiid because that's a totally different play. I want to interrupt this conversation. We're going to get right back into it because Adam Schefter has just tweeted this out. Josh McDaniels not getting a job with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are hiring Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni as their head coach. Sirianni spent 3 seasons as the Chiefs assistant coach, 5 with the Chargers, past 3 with the Colts, 39 years old. He becomes the head coach in Philadelphia. So no Deuce Daly and no Josh McDaniels. They go outside and get themselves an offensive coordinator from Indianapolis.
And Rappaport actually tweeted out, he says, young, impressive coach who received a strong recommendation from Frank Reich.
Scoop.
So, and we know Reich's connection with
that
organization.
Offensive coordinator, you know, there before he went to Indianapolis, they won the Super Bowl. So kind of in-house, kind of strong recommendation from a guy that they obviously think a lot of in Frank Reich, but no Josh McDaniels. And then there is just one. That would be the Houston Texans.
Here's the problem with the Houston Texans.
Not surprised.
Nobody wants the job.
You guys remember, how many years ago was it when nobody wanted the Cleveland Browns job? Like, guys were backing out of it? Was that like 5-6 years ago? Was that Mike Pettin? I don't even remember.
Who was the guy they originally hired?
I don't even know who they hired, but remember there was like the last one available, and like four three or four people pulled out. Like, they, I don't even want it. Like, I feel like that's the road we're going down here with Houston. But no Josh McDaniels, and that's good for you, by the way.
That's good for the New England Patriots. They are able to hold on to Josh McDaniels. They
bad need for him. McDaniels.
They need to rebuild. I don't know if it's bad for McDaniels. I think that job is a better one, I think, that I think or that Lou thinks on this. I'm not sure that's a great job with based on everything you're...
My point is, he is just, every time a new cycle will come up, his name will be, and let's just throw, let's be curious about Josh. He's going to have to reset all over again. This is a three-year process, is at least with a new quarterback. He lost a year last year with Cam Newton, got no swag out of that. Nobody believed he's any good anymore. Right. So they pass him over, even though he has a better resume and a longer history.
All right, suppose he takes a Marcus Mariota. Suppose he takes a Jimmy G, brings him in here, and the offense really starts to open up, and people start talking about New England again. And obviously, a big part of it will be going out and getting some skilled position players. But if he does that next year, Christian, he's not part of that mix.
No, he's got to go back to an AFC championship game, or maybe, and that's the low end.
Oh, I think that's
he's got
to
go.
He has to create a new window. The buzz is gone. And our boy Howard Eskin down in Philadelphia, when he said it's between Josh and Deuce Daly,
wrong.
Eh, just missed.
Wrong.
Just a little bit.
Missed a little bit. He missed a lot.
Just a little bit.
Just missed. Marcus Smart. It's always Christian's favorite subject. He was pissing and moaning when that game was over. Does he have a justifiable right to scream at the officials and Joel Embiid with that game? We get to it coming up next right here on OMF.
It's Marcus Smart who is the seed where everybody else grows from.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On Twitter at Glenn D. Ordway.
Who doesn't like fun?
Back to OMF.
On WEEI.
Embiid against Tice. Well defended. Stripped. Oh, they call a foul on Pritchard.
Embiid is calling for the ball. They get it to him. 10 on the shot clock. And Embiid will go back to the free throw line. Tristan Thompson picking up that foul. You can see his thoughts on that. Jalen misses the jumper, and Embiid get poked.
And that's going to be free throws.
Embiid deep. Thompson trying to fight him. The whistle. Shot won't go, but a foul. As Tristan Thompson will pick up his third. And a technical foul has been handed out. I think it's Tristan Thompson. Embiid will now shoot a technical and then finish the personal foul free throws. Embiid just goes at him. Count it.
Wow, could this have been use of the left hand on the offensive foul?
I certainly think so. Embiid spins into a double team. And a whistle on a foul. Brad Stevens not happy at all with that call.
Whoa.
Yeah, Tyson was trying to get around, but he did foul him first. And then Embiid flailed his arms.
Joel Embiid, a dominant performance with 42 points, 10 rebounds. They outscore the Celtics 31-17 in the fourth quarter.
Free throws, 45 taken by the 76ers. They hit 80% of those. Celtics had 20, and they hit 13 of those. Those are 65%. But Embiid was 17 of 21 from the free throw line. So this is Marcus Smart when the game was over, pissing and moaning in the press conference.
He shot alone, himself, 21 free throws. Our team shot 20. Can't beat that. They shot 36 from 45. We shot 13 for 20. It's hard to win that way. You know, we got our hands up a lot of the times, and, you know, he flails and he gets the call. And then down another end, we got our guys attacking the rim, getting a lot of contact, and we're just not getting the whistle. It's tough to play like that. And it's, if the roles are reversed, I do it every time. I mean, I'll be on too. If every time I threw my arms up or every time I got touched, I'm going to the free throw line. I mean, it's kind of hard not to get into a rhythm that way when you shoot 21 free throws alone and they allow you to hack on the other end. It's tough. I mean, but, you know, we battled. The team did a good job. We right there, gave ourselves a win, and turn around and play again on Friday.
Of all people to talk about somebody flailing and acting out there, he does it better than anybody in the league. So does he have a justifiable excuse here? Did the officials screw the Celtics?
No. No, they did not, because that's what Philly does. You don't get to the line, okay? When you just look at the numbers, right? Like Philly, I think Brian Robb had it. Philly's like fourth in the league of getting to the line. Joel Embiid gets to the line 10 times a game on average. Last night, got there a lot. You know why? Because remember on one of those alley-oops or inside move after he made the shot, what did he do? He put his hand down to the ground and basically said, "You're too small. None of you guys can cover me." He did a great job taking it to the basket. The Celtics are 27th in the league in opponent free throw rate. They're awful at it. They're good at it, Philadelphia. You have nobody that can cover Embiid once he gets the ball down low. You can't stop him. Okay, that's your problem. You allowed that to happen in the first place. So this is just Ben Simmons takes it to the basket. Like, this is what these guys do. So, no, they're going to get to the line. You don't. You fire up threes. You know, so and without a guy, like, yo, I mentioned Curry, Danny Green, he's out there, but they take it to the hoop. You don't. It's just what happens.
You know, the thing with Marcus, it's just like, come on, dude. Like, why are you ever going to point the finger at somebody else? To me, that's, I mean, if you want to talk about the game, because I actually was like, I thought he actually played really well in this
he
game.
Did. I thought he did.
He
too.
Played really well, and he made did. Some really
Even
important
offensively
shots.
Played well. Yep.
Offensively, defense. He was impacting the game in a yep. bunch of different ways. So I was like, all right, just wait. He'll do something stupid. Well, he didn't do something stupid. He said something stupid. Just, I mean, coming from him, like, hello, pot, meet the kettle. Like, you cannot talk about somebody else flailing around and getting fouls. If you feel like you didn't get shot, if you didn't get fouls, just say you didn't feel like you get fouls. So don't bring it flailing around, you falling around, and like you're encouraging the refs to give you fouls. Like, to me, that's a problem. But to lose point, at this point in time, he's going to do that every time you play him. They're going to play again on Friday. You think they're going to change anything that they do? You think they're going to be more apprehensive now? I think they'll be like, a little more. They're going to play off? He's just going to have a cleaner path to the basket.
That's what they do.
Listen, it's a basketball 101 that if you're constantly taking the ball to the hole and the defensive team is playing fairly passively as the non-aggressor, that team, the offensive-minded team, is going to go to the free throw line an awful lot. I think Philadelphia had 14 or 16 points in the paint in the first quarter, and Boston had two. What was Boston doing? They were taking three-point shots.
Right.
By the way, they were making them, but they were taking three-point shots. And Lou's right. Boston has not made up to take the ball to the hole. We wish that Tatum would go to the free throw line a little bit more. Ben Simmons is 6'10". Joel Embiid is 7 feet tall. And I think there's a fear when you're going up against Philly's defense, you don't want to invade the lane. And Ben Simmons, by the way, we talked about him. He's a guy that doesn't like going to the free throw line. It's amazing. He got 10 of those last night, but he doesn't necessarily like going to the line because he's not a great shooter at the line. It's the style of play is a huge difference.
So,
that's it.
Exactly. So when you sit there and you, because the game, for the most part, was really close, but I really felt like the Celtics, even with all this stuff going on, even with all the fouls and all the, you know, their inability to stop Joel Embiid. It was a good game. When it came down to it, you couldn't close it out. When it came down to it, everything that you were able to overcome for the first 3.5 quarters, you weren't able to do when it really mattered. So to me, that is a situation and an issue that is going to plague them. Because when the playoffs do come around and you do keep it close, who is stopping that guy? Who's stopping him? Nobody. Nobody is stopping him if he doesn't want to be stopped. If he's inspired by Doc Rivers to play good basketball, if he's in his ear, hey, you can be the MVP, you can be the MVP, and he starts believing it and he gets 42 freaking points, it's not going to change.
I feel like we're in like the same, you know, area of like, remember like LeBron, Giannis is another one. Like, they constantly take it to the basket. They're bigger, they're stronger, and they get fouled. They take a lot of free throws against you, and it's like, oh, my God, they just call every foul. Well, they're more aggressive than you. The Celtics like to shoot threes.
Yep.
You know, they do. You like to see Tatum. He's doing a better job of getting to the line. Jaylen Brown, smart, takes to the basket, but not at the level of guys like Embiid and Simmons, who doesn't shoot well and still is an effective player, taking it to the hole, doing different things. Like, they take it to the basket. Like, I don't, and numbers, they don't lie. Again, the Celtics, they're awful. They're 27th in the league in free throw rate, an opponent free throw rate, and Philly's fourth in the league in getting to the line. Like, it's just, when that sort of things matches up, that's what you're going to see. Now, late in that game, fourth quarter, 17-0. All right, I understand that. But again, they're trying to finish you off down low. You're trying to shoot threes to stay in the game. That's just the way it was. I thought the worst call was that call late in the game on, was it Tice? I think even Scal was saying, he's like, that's basically the game. They're going to, you know, I think it was like a four-point game.
And went to a six-point game. Yeah, that was
like,
a bad call.
Yeah, like that was
that should have been a
That was a ticky-tack. Right. That was just a bunch. That was awful.
Yeah, Tice
awful
was
call.
Pissed off, too. He was all over the official from the fourth
quarter.
Will
the NBA come back, a couple days and said they messed it up?
They only do the last couple minutes of a game.
Tobias Harris, that's who it was on. Yeah. But, I mean, so the last one I see, you know, is like a bad, what I consider a bad foul. But Joel Embiid has his way with you. Brought Tristan Thompson in to hopefully try to slow a guy like that down, and he absolutely abused him. He looks so imposing out there. Another one, Dwight Howard's another one. You know what I mean? They just have bigs that they're rolling in right now that right now you're having a little bit of issues with.
I've never been a fan of Dwight Howard. You might have been when he was with the Lakers, Kirsten, the first time around. I was really impressed with
who is it?
Yes,
Dwight Howard. I was impressed with what he did last year coming off the bench.
Yeah.
I thought he was a valuable player for them. You know, he gave them minutes to rest Davis. And you look at him this year with Philadelphia to this point, again, he gives Joel Embiid that time to sit down and rest. And you lose something, but you don't lose an awful lot.
Yeah,
I
don't know.
To
me,
drop off there.
That's it. He's really just a bridge for a rest bridge because he's slow. He's just, he looks stiff as hell. And when I was watching, I didn't even think he looked like he was into the game. You know, but whatever. No, but that's...
He had 10 rebounds in 15 minutes last night.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, that's the thing. So, you know, you would have to have a guy like that. So at any team...
For $2.5 million, free agency, sure.
That's my point. So any team that has a 7-foot center that gives you productive, you know, minutes on a regular basis, then you're going to have to find a guy the same size. So he'll just go around the league for the next 5 years backing up people.
They just look so big. Like, Tice is... how big is Tice? 6'8"?
6'8", 245.
I mean,
what is Tristan Thompson?
Thompson is 6'9", 254. Next to the inch, extra 10
pounds. He's not that big, Christian.
Well, basically, he looked,
I told you, he looks like a
baby.
Howard's
not probably 7 feet, but he's got to be at least 6'10", 6'11". He's just enormous.
So 6'10", 265.
The key is we don't know whether Tatum's going to play or not tomorrow night, whether he's going to be cleared. Brad Stevens has already said Kemba Walker can play more minutes, 25 to 28. He played 22 last night. But really, I think in the back-to-back situation, isn't the question, you got Tristan Thompson to be able to hang in there, not necessarily outplay Embiid, but hang in there in a game against Philadelphia. You have to see something tomorrow night. I would say that's the biggest question mark going forward here, Christian. Is Thompson give you anything tomorrow night? Is he not embarrassed with what he gave you last night?
That's it. You hope he's embarrassed.
That's probably the one thing you're looking at. Because, you know, whether even if Tatum comes back, he's not going to – I think you got to kind of wait three or four games here before you start judging this team again. Because I can just see the Kemba minutes. Hopefully he doesn't go back at all with the improvement. I mean, you saw in the first half he was great. Second half, they permanently just pretty much sat him the whole time. He wasn't in the flow of it when he came back in the fourth quarter. I don't think Tatum's going to be in the flow of it either. But Tristan Thompson versus Embiid. Like, that's probably the one thing you look at. The guy got abused. He got embarrassed. Can you slow that man down? Because you know, if not, like Philly, Philly's
Al.
There.
I need Al Horford.
I just think with Doc Rivers there, I think Philly's there. They're not that team last year that completely lost it. I don't think Doc's going to let that happen. I believe in Milwaukee and Brooklyn, and Philly's going to be there. So, I mean, that's – you got to go out there. And Tristan Thompson, I think it's all about him because the others, Kemba, we'll see. Tatum, don't judge him.
I know it's a break, but there's two guys that Danny could have signed this offseason using one of the exceptions. He could have signed Dwight Howard.
Yep.
Or Aaron Baines. Both those guys would do much better than Tristan Thompson.
He looks like all of Australia. Mm-hmm.
But Thompson's on our team, so he was the best option, right? That's what I'm going to hear.
Both of them better.
Miles Turner.
Yeah. But Thompson is
Thompson's
better
here, so we love Thompson.
Thompson has got to be better than what you saw last night. I mean, if you've watched him play over the years, that last night was, it was embarrassing.
It was.
Maybe he wakes up tomorrow. You just mentioned the Brooklyn Nets. Everybody was getting excited because Kevin Durant and James Durant and James Harden looked like they were going to just take over the Eastern Conference. Kyrie came back last night.
I get buckets.
How did he do? Put up a lot of points, but it did not go so well. We have it next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get social on Facebook.com/WEEI and WEEI Sports on Instagram. Now more of OMF on EEI.
Marcus Smart just told me that I flail a lot. Come on. I mean, I'm sure he knows himself and he knows his game too. You know, he does a lot of that. I don't think I do. I mean, if you watch basketball and if you're a student of the game and if you actually pay attention during the game, I mean, we all see, like, every single foul, I get fouled. Other teams tend to try to be extra physical against me, and I guess I'm just smarter than everybody else. I just take advantage of how they're guarding me. You can call that, I don't know, basketball IQ.
Joel Embiid responding to Marcus Smart. I do like this, and we talked about it with the NHL the other day. I do like this back-to-back game stuff, especially when something happens in the first game. So it really gives you some emotion and a storyline for the second game to be played tomorrow night. And for Embiid last night, he became only the second player in the last 25 seasons with 40-plus points and shooting at 70% field goal percentage against the Boston Celtics. Shaquille did it back in 2003.
So they're going to go out there and they're going to say, okay, listen, we got to stop Joel Embiid, but we just can't foul him. Okay, so we got to stop him. Just don't foul him so many times.
It's hard to do that.
No, so my question is, can they do it? So, I mean, I don't think he'll get this enormous amount of fouls called in his favor. I don't think that'll happen in back-to-back because I think the refs probably see it and say, wow, man, the Celtics, man, they really got screwed. But
yeah, I think there's something to that. I do.
I know. Yeah. I think Brad always talks about it when they play these guys. You know, it's not allowing him. It's where he gets the basketball, right? And he talks about team defense and shifting and whatever, not allowing him to get the ball, you know, underneath the basket because they don't have anybody that can stop him. So that's where the whole team defense comes into play, or defending Joel Embiid, not letting him get the ball where he got it often last night. And that's where they probably failed.
Yeah, I think he's a killer when he's outside his spot because he's so athletic and he can make that move to the basket. But you're right. If you give him his spot, oh, my God, he's got so many things he can do with it. He's the thing that the one person I would look at in last night's game that if you're a Celtics fan, you've got to be concerned with because he has suddenly figured it out. And you might be right, Lou. It might be Doc Rivers who really has lit a fire under him.
I think the only hope
he's a different player. He's a different player.
Yeah, but I think the only hope you have is that it's Joel Embiid. You know what I mean? And you hope he's not a different player. You hope that Doc Rivers isn't kind of getting in his head and kind of showing him the way. Because, you know, you could sit there and say, we've seen this before from him.
Yeah, but been good.
We've seen it. We've seen
him
dominate.
Consistently here all season. It's early. I agree.
What, 14 games into it? So it's like, yeah, okay, I've 15 games. I've seen him be a good player. You know what I mean? But when's the injury coming? You know, or is he ready to play today? Is he want to play today? You know, what will he be like? Will he be healthy by the postseason? So that's kind of like your hope, but the guy's dominant, and you don't have an answer for him.
So Kyrie got an opportunity to play last night. It was the first time back. The team was, 5-2 or 5-3 without him. In the last couple games, they won with the new big two. So the big three returned, and he had himself a big game. And he it was amazing because he seemed to do an awful lot of scoring last night. I thought we kept on saying that he's the one guy that's going to have to give something up, right? He didn't give up a damn thing last night. He put 37 up on the board. There was one big problem. He didn't play an awful lot of defense at the other end. Colin Sexton got 42 in that overtime game.
Okay, things that I don't think are going to change. Him giving up the rock, being unselfish. That's not going to change. Him all of a sudden learning to play defense, are we willing? I don't think that's going to change either. I do think there is going to be some figuring it out. And they're saying it also. I don't know what this is going to look like. I just know that when it really comes down to it, even if it looks like they figured out how they're and what their roles are, even if it's a shared responsibility, when it really matters, I do feel like there's going to be a personality conflict. Like, the other eyebrow.
All right, so first game back, and you look at number of shots taken in the game last night.
That's your issue.
Kyrie took 28, Durant took 25, and James Harden took 14.
Yeah, see, I don't want James Harden to be the guy that gets the 12 assists. You know what I mean? I just think first night back, it almost seemed like, okay, yeah, the two of you had your fun, but I'm back. I'm going to show you. Because I think at one point in the third quarter, I think Harden had 7 shots midway through the third quarter last night. And this is not Kyrie taking a step back. He's a great player. Of course he can drop 37. He did last night. We know that. But it seems like him taking 28 and Harden taking 14, flip that. You know what I mean? Just flip that.
But don't you think Harden's it will score? Don't you think it'll... But they're all scores.
But for one night, I'm looking at it and saying, well, that ain't it. Like, that ain't the recipe. Like, that's not going to work. And the rotation's not going to work. You know, they got to get some bodies in here. They can't wait for the buyout. I mean, they got 3 guys that played 50 minutes last night. And I mean, Jeff Green's giving you 45. I mean, Harris, 42. It's like that's it. They got like a 5-man rotation.
Yeah, but see, I don't necessarily.
That's all they have
Jordan's playing like half the game.
Don't you think there will be times where, you know, Harden shoots twice as much as Durant, or Durant shoots, you know, and twice
I do,
as
but
much?
I'm just saying it's like the first look of it. Though. Like the yeah, first.
So your first reaction.
Like my first reaction
is what
is
you feared.
Kyrie, exactly. Yeah. It. Kyrie came in here and was just like, okay, whatever. I'm just going to let everybody know. He took more shots than Kevin Durant. Kyrie Irving should never take more shots than Kevin Durant. He shouldn't. And I think James Harden's one of the best scorers in the game. He should not take half the shots of Kyrie Irving as well. So it's like Kyrie almost was like sending a message.
Yeah, you wonder whether Kyrie was sending a message and whether James Harden sat there and said, okay, he wants to score, so I'm going to take a back seat and I'm going to give you 12 assists during the course of the game. It's very strange for the first game back. that he ends up taking more shots than anybody else. I mean,
that's where your contentious relationship is going to come from, dude. Stop shooting.
And you lose the game.
Stop shooting.
By the way, in double overtime.
No. I mean, this is in the locker room, on the bus, you know, watching film, you know, hanging out, whatever. Why do you stop shooting? You're shooting way too much.
Well, let me ask you. You said, because let's just say the next game they go out, not even when their next game is, Saturday, whenever it might be, and Kyrie takes another 28 shots and James Harden takes 13, 15. You think at some point Harden's like, I lead the league in scoring. Like, I'm a scorer. You know what I mean? I'm not like a 12 assist game guy. Like, I don't know. What's our role? Am I here to feed you? Am I here to feed you and Durant? Like, is that what I am?
12 assist guy? Okay. So we keep talking about that. Like, somebody has to be the adult in the room. Somebody has to
take a back seat. Good
luck. Okay, let's be realistic here. Okay. I think who's the most grown up, mature, rational person of those three?
That's Durant. A good question.
Okay. I would guess Durant.
It's the guy with 17 burner accounts.
I can tell you.
Okay. Just checking.
I would also say,
grow up.
Who's in last place is Kyrie Irving. Now, burner accounts, fine, okay? Having, you know, person, whatever. To me, that's different than how we interact on the court. To me, that's going to be ultimately your biggest issue. So, who is the most insecure and has the lowest, sense of worth? Who is it? Who is it? Because in the end, and I feel like Harden's going to, by default, going to end up being that guy. Because Durant is way too much the alpha dog. And you cannot reason with the psychopath being Kyrie Irving. So James Harden, with all his issues and all his problems on or off the court, he ends up being the adult in the room. So he'll turn it over a ton because he'll constantly have the ball, and he'll lead the league in assists because he'll be passing it to guys who are great shooters, and will not give it back to him.
Listen, I think Harden is a point guard, and that's what he is. Not a shooting guard, he's a point guard. Kyrie is a point guard. But the guy that's going to should score the most is Harden and not Kyrie Irving. And the biggest problem you have looking at that game, Sexton played 38 minutes and had 42 points last night. He was in foul trouble. So in 38 minutes, those other guys, Lou just said it, they were playing 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. He plays 38, he gets 42. And many of those, most of them, were against who? Kyrie Irving.
Well, he was the pick for Kyrie, right?
Yep.
So, I don't know, maybe it's just a little bit of, it's something personal, maybe. I don't know why you'd get upset about it. Yeah. But
Colin Sexton last night was wearing Kyrie Irving's shoes, the Kyrie brand, on Kyrie Irving's tribute night as he returned to Cleveland.
He got a video, Christian.
Yeah, Let me show you what you got for Kyrie. Yep. I'll show you.
And then Kyrie's pointing to his ring finger like, oh, remember what I got you guys? Got you guys a ring.
It's another sign that he's such an ass.
I don't know what the personality is of Colin Sexton. I think we know enough about Kyrie Irving. Is it possible that Kyrie looked at that pick and said, I'm going to light it up today? And then the kid finally said, screw you, I'm a pretty good player too. And he went out and did a lot of damage.
Well, let's not
act like, he won the game. Sexton won the game.
But I also say, listen, it's best of seven series. That game goes into double overtime. Double overtime, regular season game, probably not going to end that way on a regular basis. It took the Cleveland, going crazy for them to even keep it close.
Well, it took 42 by Colin Sexton. I agree with you. But the other thing I would say is, I'm not sure that's a great sign, and you are expecting the implosion with these three. It's not a good sign that right out of the gate, and they really looked great with the big two, suddenly you bring your third guy into the equation, and he takes 28 shots in the first game and only gives you three assists?
We're a little too focused on the offensive shots by Kyrie. They scored 135 points. I know it was double overtime, so maybe they score 110. That's a pretty good number in the offensive game.
Well, the defense was terrible. Well, it was
right,
double overtime,
so that,
too.
But we're a little too focused on Kyrie's shot selection and not him giving up 42 or them having no center that can block anyone at the rim. They have no rim protection right now. They got Jared Allen.
No.
DeAndre Jordan's not going to block any shots.
No.
Well, that's
the
point. So, like, you know, so you're going to have to, you know, you score 130 points.
It'll work. Don't you worry about it. It'll work.
No, I'm not worried about their offense.
Oh, you're in on the whole team.
Yeah, I'm an in on Brooklyn. It'll work, and you're going to lose another eyebrow. Yeah, it'll work.
Not official bet.
It's better when you have no eyebrows as opposed
to
one.
I'm going to have to shave them both off anyways just to be, you know, balanced.
I was going
to
say, wouldn't you, if you take one off, you should really take both of them off. Because I'll think about it.
We'll wait and see how tomorrow goes. Well, actually, how Sunday goes. They got two more shots at getting back into this thing.
You have any idea where you're going with these games yet?
No, No.
You're going to wait.
You get some help tomorrow?
I'm going to wait and get some help tomorrow.
Talk to our
again.
Guy, Paul Howard?
I'm going to go the opposite of Paul. I'm going to see if that one works. I'm going to go the opposite of Paul because and then watch him hit all
I'll
of
buy
them.
You dinner if I'm wrong. Yeah. I like the Ravens.
where are we getting
steak?
Dinner?
Maybe a little surf and turf.
Where are we getting dinner? Beautiful.
So if we look at the Celtics and we've seen what we've seen so far, and they've had major problems with COVID. These other teams are going to get hit with COVID. Washington has got hit now. They haven't played games in a while. And these other teams are going to get hit with COVID. We're seeing it in the NHL. Based on the fact that they've gone through the COVID thing, they're 8-5. They don't have their best player out there. They didn't have Jaylen Brown as well for a game.
Yeah.
And they didn't have Kemba Walker. I look at it, and I think they're in good shape here, guys.
So do I. I was just waiting for you to finish. I was like, I think they're right there with all the other teams. I don't think there is a clear number one team.
In the East, no.
I don't think there is. No. I think everybody is, you know, at least the top four teams, if you're going to rank them in no particular order, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Boston, and Brooklyn.
By the way, speaking of Marcus Miami Smart, I forgot to mention this. You see that tweet by our boy Rich Keefe?
Which one? About him shooting too much?
Marcus Smart numbers.
So Marcus Smart, stat of the day. Since the beginning of last season, including the playoffs, when he takes 10 field goals or less, the Celtics are 35-8. 10 field goals or less, 35-8. When he takes 11-plus field goals, they are 21-25.
This might knock your socks off.
I saw that.
35-8.
Yeah. I think your eyes tell you that. That wasn't surprising at all. But there are nights in which they need him, and they needed him last night to score because you had Kemba sitting on the bench, and then you had no Tatum last night. So there are nights probably that are in that mix.
You know what I would do to him?
In which you needed him, but I don't want him shooting more than 10, 11 shots in a game.
I would treat him like a Major League Baseball pitcher, and I would say you are, like those guys are on pitch counts. You are on a shot count. So you have 10 shots.
When do you want to take them?
10 shots. You take them. You want to take them early. You want to take them late. You want to spread it out. That's up to you. Once you hit 10, you are not allowed to shoot anymore. I mean, and I'm taking last night's game out of the equation because it would be rude for me to be so, you know, critical of a guy that I actually thought was one of the reasons you were in that game in the first place. But big picture wise, when everybody comes back and he starts deciding that he's the Kyrie Irving of the team and I got to get mine, see, that's the problem. He works so hard. He does so many things. You almost have to give him the green light. You have to toss him a bone, and the bone is being able to shoot when he wants to.
I thought last night he kind of sent something, and it was pretty stupid, but the kid Matisse Thybulle, who was a really good defensive player, why was he playing him chest-to-chest 30 feet away from the basket? What was he doing? And then Smart would just take it off the dribble, beat him off the dribble, and he would do that little circle move he does around underneath, and he'd score against him. But I don't blame Smart at times for taking the ball last night to the hole, which he did, because Thybulle was on him, and he was all over
him. He had a good game.
In three-point territory.
Him, Tice, Brown, they all had good games. But just my issue ultimately, and I just feel like this is, until I see it happen consistently, where they don't just, you know, forget who they are or just be less reckless or be more cautious without just giving guys free lanes and giving up defensive positions. That's going to be their nemesis, I'm telling you. Like, the other teams are just better at it than them.
And notice you can't, you know, there's a lot of stuff you can't do against Philadelphia. So some of the stuff that they normally can do against other teams with those smaller lineups, you really can't do it against Philadelphia. And that's where they're really handcuffed. But that was the impression I got, is that Philly is just a better team now than they were in the past because of one guy's finally woken up. And he's finally...
Somebody's woke?
Yeah.
So he's woke?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Different type of woke.
No, I agree.
He's finally figured it out.
I don't think you should overreact about anything you saw, but I think Embiid, the way he's playing, and Tristan Thompson covering him, that's a concern. Kemba's on a pitch count. Tatum didn't play. Whatever. I think Philly's a lot better than they were last year. That's the difference. A lot better. I don't want to hear what they did against them last year. I don't want to hear what they did in the playoffs. Brett Brown is an idiot. And I don't think Doc Rivers is, and I think he gets Embiid playing. That's my takeaway from that game last night.
And I don't think there's any team in the East that is that you look at and say, oh, my God, they're taking off and they're running. I mean, the Heat have had their problems so far this season, and there are a lot of teams in the East that are just kind of, what are they right now? We talked about the Magic. They got off to a good start, and now they're struggling somewhat. So, and they needed a buzzer beater last night to win in Minnesota. Coming up next, if you have not heard the latest news out of Philadelphia, they have gone in a different direction for head coach. It is not going to be Josh McDaniels. What does all of this mean for the New England Patriots? This hour of OMF brought to you by Northeast Men's Health. Locations are in Dedham. They're next to Legacy Place and in Salem, New Hampshire. Or you can catch them online at northeastmenshealth.com.